The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
The Nooshigak Reds are screaming, and the fleet finally has some net in the water to slow them down. Will that lagging King Run catch up? The Igigit catch continues to build with more fishing time offered tomorrow. I'm Dave Benninger. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Thursday, June 22nd. Glad to have you on board. Coming up, Igigik set netter Eddie Clark gives us an update.
We've had a couple good days. We put in some poundage earlier. I would say, to me, it looks like a normal or a little early.
Plus, Tim Sands breaks down his thinking on fishing the west side with those kings behind and the reds, well...
The Nooshigak River escapement for sockeye is off the charts. I mean, we're probably going to be over 400,000, maybe close to 500,000.
Plus, something mysterious has been lurking in the lake not far off the beach in Kakanak. We'll get a first-hand account of a recent lake monster sighting.
And if you were to put a 32-foot gill netter in that same area, it would be about half the size of the body that was exposed, of the big one.
That's all coming up after the numbers.
Programming on KDLG is brought to you by Matrix Marine Incorporated, providing on-site diesel repair services and Volvo Penta support in Bristol Bay, with shops in Naknek at 246-3406 and in Dillingham in the PAF yard at 842-3646.
You're listening to KDLG AM 670, the home of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Here is your daily run summary and other fishing data for today. Still waiting patiently on numbers from the Port Molar Test Fishery. If those come in during this broadcast, we'll have them on this program tonight, if not catch them on the news in the morning. The catch in Igigik Wednesday was 114,000 sockeye. That brings the season total there now to 402,000. Igigik River Escapement was 28,000 yesterday. Season total now 121,000. The goal range for the Igigik River between 800,000 and 2 million fish. More fishing time offered there for 8 hours starting tomorrow morning. Ugashik season catch still at 7,000 sockeye. No escapement counts there yet. Ugashik will stay closed tomorrow. Naknek Kwejak catch now up to 29,000 fish. They're still fishing on the weekly schedule. Naknek tower count was 2,400 sockeye Wednesday. Season total now 6,400. On the west side Wednesday, 1,400 kings counted past the Nooshigak sonar at Portage Creek, bringing the season total there to 4,300. 76,000 sockeye were counted past the sonar, bringing the Nooshigak red count to 286,000. That was as of this morning. Tim Sands updating later in the day to say it has gone past the lower end of the escapement goal range. Wood River counted 63,000 sockeye Wednesday and another 27,000 by 6 a.m. this morning. Season total up the Wood through 6 a.m., 185,000 fish. Igushik District catch, still confidential. Still no counts on the Igushik River. Togiak catch, now about 3,000 sockeye. Still no counts on the Togiak River either. That's Bristol Bay inshore catch and escapement. ADF&G's Mary Emery has a rundown of the vessel registrations from earlier today.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with the district registration as of June 22nd at 10:20 a.m. In Igigik, we have 309 vessels registered. Naknek-Kwejak, 145. Nooshigak, 330. Togiak, 21. Ugashik, 45, for a total of 850 boats. In 2 days from now, Igigik moves to 313, Naknek-Kwejak 145, Nooshigak 339, Togiak 21, and Ugashik 47, for a total of 865. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
Permits lining up very similar. Igigik 390, adding 4 in 48 hours. Naknek-Kwejak 162 permits registered, staying the same in 48 hours. Nooshigak, 422 registered, adding 11 in 48 hours. Togiak, 21 in 21. Ugashik, 59, adding 2 in 48 hours. Nothing in from Port Molar. That's it for our numbers tonight. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Igigik has been fishing steady for some time now and leads the way on district catches. We've yet to hear much from down that way, so earlier today I called longtime set netter Eddie Clark of Naknek to check in. Good to catch up with you again this year. I don't know if I'm interrupting a nap. Everybody needs some sleep, but give us an update from the beach, Eddie.
Yeah, we're just into a period. We opened this morning. Wasn't too much. I would say probably 500 or 600 pounds of sight. We've had a couple good days. We put in some poundage earlier. I would say one day on, one day off, something like that. To me, it looks like a normal or a little early, but it was good to see fish. I know we don't have too many boats here, but that's all good. We have a lot of seals, and we're ready. We're ready for them.
Waiting on the big weeks to come here.
We're getting everybody back in training.
Right. Shaking out that gear a little bit. What do you think about the fish that are showing up so far? What sizes are you seeing? Are you having some pretty good meat in the net there?
Yeah, I forecast that we're supposed to have 2.2s, so that's going to be big anyway. And they're over 6 pounds. Early on we're testing. I take water temp, everything. We've had 59 degree water temp earlier, and now we're down to 55, a little cooler now. But I would say, every 10 male fish we had 1 to 2 females, big, high male count. They look big here.
Any kings showing up in the nets there?
We had a couple big ones. We got one today, a lot of 18-pound kings. I say a lot. I think we had 5 kings yesterday, 18-pounders, and one today. So we're just starting to see our kings, but they're beautiful silver, but just really nice fat little fish. So we've been in the smokehouse and freezing some and eating some. So I have some for lunch here in a minute.
Oh, perfect. All right. And I know that you keep some data plotted there on the wall of the cabin after, all these years you've been there. What does your data tell you about this year? You kind of mentioned possibly a little bit early, but what do you think?
I thought it'd be early just because we had so many fish early. We had some good hits there early. We had all the nets in the water on June 1, and so we had some good days early, and it looked like an early year. But I don't know, it's starting to be like a normal year. We've been fishing, 2 tides a day, so then it's kind of hard to catch up on what's going on in other districts.
You mentioned the seals. I keep hearing about their sort of impact on fishing fleet around Igigig. You think they're any worse, or are there any solutions, or what can folks do?
From flying around, I see they have many more haulouts all around. You used to have seal bar at the north line, but now Goose Point's full. The bar right out of Coffee Point here is full, and they've got 2 upriver even, it looks like 60 to 100 seals, so we have a lot of seals the last couple of years.
Doesn't sound like there's any easy solution to prevent them from getting in the way of the fishing down there.
All we can hope for is more drift boats that would attract them and keep them off our net, but that's kind of a bad thing to say, but that's kind of what has to happen, actually.
All right, Eddie Clark in Igigik. Skipper, thanks for the update, and catch some rest, and hope to talk to you again soon with more updates from Igigik. Thanks so much.
Real good, Dave. You bet. Anytime.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG's AM 670, and hello to all of you listening online. Catch the show nightly at 6:10 and 2 a.m., and keep in touch with emails at fish@kdlg.org or give us a call here at the station. Yagooshig set netters have been fishing for going on 2 weeks, and there's some small early effort in Togiak, but for the bulk of the West Side fleet, late last night was the first opener of the season. Anecdotal reports are that the drift boats did pretty good, one company reporting an average of more than 4,000 pounds per boat. Fish and Game will not have the tally till tomorrow. Theron Heavener ran his set net site at Clark's Point and spoke with KDLG's Nick Shalino this afternoon.
It was really good. It was more than I expected. A lot of medium fish, but we had 5-6 bags, so it went really well. Out of our two sites, we only saw one king out of all the fish, so I figured that we should have saw more, but otherwise, I think they're pretty slim right now. The biggest part of it was trying to get organized. That first one's always the disorganization, your frustration, and it's trying to find that rhythm.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Tell everyone to be safe this year. Catch lots of fish. Have fun. That's part of the deal. And hopefully we get a good price.
Theron, thanks for sharing today. Let's check in now with Westside Area Management Biologist Tim Sands for more on his plans and the days ahead. Tim, you put the Westside fleet in last night for their first couple openers. It sounds like they're off to a pretty decent start, but I know there's a lot of concern about these Nooshigak kings. It doesn't sound like even the commercial fish want to touch too many of those because everybody knows the value of protecting that run. What's your thinking at this point as to whether or not this run is, the king run is taking some shape?
Yeah, well, we know that there was good hidden subsistence beaches Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and it really appears like we're getting some increased king escapement upriver. We are very concerned about that. We waited much longer than we normally would have waited to start fishing for sockeye to protect those kings. You know, two extra days, and 2 extra days is a long time in Bristol Bay sockeye fishing. And we'll know tomorrow and Saturday, but some benefit from waiting. How much, we don't know yet, but I'm very hopeful that it'll be significant help for the king escapement there.
It's not that anybody thinks there are any easy answers to why kings have these, you know, problems, but do you see anything this year that might indicate why it's either small or late or both?
You know, the water is low upriver. That could have had them all just milling out in the bay waiting. But other than that, no.
Any problems with counting them on account of the low water?
You know, it's unclear. We're going to be looking at additional data sources to kind of examine that question. But at this point, there's no definitive answer to that question. But there was another year, 1997, that's kind of legendary here in the office because that year the count was extremely low and the water was low, and then postseason surveys showed that there were more than enough kings in the escapement on the spawning beds. So at this point, we don't know anything about that, but we have additional data sources we can kind of cross-check things with and see if there is something there.
And that would be catch per unit effort based on comfish and sportfish folks out there?
Right.
Okay. Your colleague across the hall there, Jason Dye, sportfish biologist for Bristol Bay, he's going to put a few restrictions in place starting next week. What are your options? What should the fleet be aware of? Mesh size, Wood River special harvest? What could you consider if this run continues to struggle?
Right. Just for clarification, I think those restrictions start on Friday.
Correct.
But anyway, so for commercial fisheries, we have the 5.5-inch or smaller mesh restriction, and that's it. We met the plan restriction of waiting till we had 100,000 sockeye up the Wood River. We waited quite a bit longer than that. It's not how many sockeye were up river when we announced fishing. It's how many sockeye went up the Wood River by the time we started fishing. That is, fish that were already through the district. So that Wood River escapement number Saturday morning is really the number of fish that we let up the river before we started fishing. And the Nooshigak River escapement is, for sockeye, is off the charts. I mean, we're probably going to be over 400,000, maybe close to 500,000, over halfway to the top end of the escapement goal range by the time we started fishing.
And
because the escapement today, midnight to 6 a.m., was 103,000 fish just this morning.
So that should put you right near the bottom end of the 370.
Well, we're over that. You know, we were 267 or whatever, so I'm sure we're over the bottom end. But that's why I'm really hopeful that we'll have a big king number today for the escapement. Big king number today, big king number tomorrow, and we could be at least projecting a reasonable escapement amount.
Interesting. It does seem like the Nooshgag District is getting off to an early start. The genetics showed the Port Muller catch a sizable percentage. June 14 to 17 was Nooshgag bound.
Right.
So are you off
and to... small catches producing quite a bit of fish, which is very interesting. I mean, I got to believe that clearly we're looking at something that's pretty strong on the Nooshgag River itself.
One last question for you, Tim. As folks are planning their weekend, do you have any thoughts on how you'll continue to manage over the next several days, something like what we've seen yesterday and today?
Yeah, we'll probably keep the set netters going. We want to evaluate the impacts of the openings on the escapement. And like I said, there's a 36-hour delay there. We want to make sure we have the escapement under control because we let so many front-end fish go up. So we're extended till 6 o'clock tomorrow, I think, for the set netters, and a couple more openings tomorrow for the drift fleet. Probably do the same thing again announced on Friday for the same thing on Saturday, and then Sunday we'll have caught our breath and hopefully be able to see where we stand and maybe take a tide off, maybe not. It just depends on how things keep pushing.
Tim Sands, Area Management Biologist for the west side of Bristol Bay. Tim, thanks for the Thursday update, and we hope to see those king numbers improve much by tomorrow's count.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Still to come, lake monsters in Iliamna. First in sports news, the Seattle Mariners played the Detroit Tigers tonight at 6. This is the last game of a four-game series, which the Mariners have swept so far. The Mariners are 37-37 of the season and are second in the American League West. Earlier this week, several Seattle sports teams joined with a nonprofit athlete ally to show their support for the LGBTQ community. The press conference was timed to coincide with Pride Month. The NHL gave their postseason awards last night. Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers took the award for most outstanding player in the regular season. Austin Matthews of Toronto Maple Leafs took home Rookie of the Year. In the mailbag tonight, Lyle Morse from Wyoming writes in. He says, "Send Lori Cockrell and her family all the best at the set net site this fishing season. May the winds be in your favor, the waves a gentle roll, and the tides full of fish. Lori," Lyle says he's thinking of you. If you have messages to send out to the fleet, drop us a line at fish@kdlg.org. This note was also in our mailbag, comes to us from Gary Hare. He writes, "Many years ago, I fished for the Queen Cannery, as well as herring in Good News Bay. Physically, I can no longer fish, but I have great memories of Dillingham. I read the paper to keep up with the comings and goings. Over the years, I've checked the webcams at the harbor to see whose boats are in and to keep track of the open periods. Also check the two cameras, one aimed at Peter Pan and the other at Clark Point. Nice to watch how the ice builds and then opens up. I've been wondering why only two of the cameras at the harbor are functioning and the rest only show a view from 2015. Is there any way the other cameras can be updated? I really enjoy reading your paper. Sincerely, Gary Hare." Well, Gary, we forwarded your letter to the police department and Chief Dan Pasquarello offered this reply. "The Dillingham police have received several emails from out-of-town persons observing that some of the cameras on the City of Dillingham website are inoperative," writes the chief. He says, we are aware of the issue, but the city does not currently have general fund revenues to pay for the costly repairs. The revenues we do possess must focus on providing essential public safety services. We have been searching for other revenue sources and currently have only been able to secure about 25% of the needed funds. Until other funds can be located, the city can no longer afford the luxury of being able to provide cameras for persons to check the weather and activity in the boat harbor via the internet. Sincerely, Dan Pascarillo, Chief of Police, Dillingham. Gary, we hope that helps. Was nice to hear from you. Well, most of you listening probably know we are in a very strange, wild, and wonderful place up here. Those who pay real close attention know there are things about this corner of the world that are not well known or easily explained. Creatures and beings who roam the tundra and inhabit the deep waters. Gary Nielsen of Kakanak knows about many of these and counts himself fortunate to occasionally find their tracks and sign. Well, just this week, he and a group of others had a real good sighting of something in Iliamna Lake, something large and unique. Maybe, probably, the lake monster. I spoke to him earlier to get the details.
Part of the cryptozoology of the lake, but there are several different types that I am aware of anyway that my wife and I have seen over the years. Different types, some just look like, you know, big lake trout, others look like sturgeon, some look like sharks, some look just like big round, multicolored brown, or multi different shades of brown. But these were different. These look like whales. And they were seen 3 days ago in the same general area by a guy who doesn't believe in anything, who believes now. And then others saw it, but they weren't sure what they were seeing. And then last night, there were adults and kids, and we watched them surface several times. I mean, they're just, well, they surface just like you would see a whale surface, you know, just rise out of the water and the back would be exposed and then it would, you know, re-enter. But when a surface, the exposed part of the skin or body probably lasted 2 or 3 seconds, then would go under. We saw it about a mile out, roughly. And if you were to put a 32-foot gill netter in that same area, it would be about half the size of the body that was exposed, of the big one. It was just solid black or dark gray, smooth skinned, no discernible dorsal fin.
Is this the clearest you've ever had a sighting of this mysterious creature?
Not the clearest, but the most witnesses in one spot watching them. I mean, before it was always either just myself and my wife, and we see them and we tell people, they say, yeah, right. But this one, there were 6 adults that saw it. 2 of us had binoculars and we're watching it through binoculars. The one in the lead was very large, and when it was on the surface, it was either had a good sized bow wake, you know, what they call a bone in the teeth, or it was blowing or it was spitting water out of its front end somehow. And 2 in the back were doing the same, but not as pronounced as the big one.
There are a number of mysterious creatures in this area, you say, and others do as well. This one, what do you think it is? Is this the lake monster? And if so, what do you think it actually, you know, how do you describe what it is?
Well, it wouldn't be the lake monster. It would be monsters, squirrel. I have absolutely no idea. All I can tell you is that it was smooth-bodied, very dark gray or black. Black, of course, but very big.
This doesn't sound like the sturgeon that some people claim this might be. This doesn't sound anything like a sturgeon.
No, I have seen what could be sturgeon. The shape of the head and the backs were sturgeon. There's been sturgeon seen right in the bay here, basking in the sun, which is what I told you the other day, probably sunning its belly. They sun their bellies for their eggs before they spawn. But I don't think these were sturgeon. I'm at a total loss as to what it could be. The only thing is it's some unknown type of whale or a type of whale that we don't know that lives in the lake here.
Sounds like Nessie.
Well, I don't know. It's we have seen so many different types of stuff in this lake. But All the others could be explained, kind of. But this one, I have no explanation.
Gary Nielsen speaking to us from Kakanak on the shores of Iliamna Lake. Thank you for sharing. No word yet on the price per pound being paid this season for iced and bled lake monster. His story reminded us of a poem written by Tim Troll just a few years ago, read here by Shanita Sorensen.
The Wisdom of the Old Ones by Tim Troll. Akatamani, a long time ago, the old stories say there were giant sea creatures lurking in these waters. They would swim from lake to lake through sunken caverns and rise from the depths to take the unwary away. They came from the time when the crust of the earth was thin and all things could move between the world as seen and the world unseen. The creatures may be gone now, or maybe never were, but like the weather among these mountains or the water filling these lakes, the wisdom of the old ones hold warnings we should take.
Well, that's just about it for tonight's show. Before we go, your marine weather forecast for La Mer and Bristol Bay. South winds of 10 knots, seas 2. Tomorrow, variable 10, seas 2. Tomorrow night, west 10, seas 2. And Saturday, southwest 15, seas staying pretty flat and calm, about 2 feet. Also calm out from Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef. Forecast calling for variable 10 knots tonight, seas 2. Tomorrow, variable 10, seas 2. Friday night, south 15, except variable 10 knots from Port Mueller east, seas 2. Saturday, southeast 20, seas 4. It does look like it'll pick up a bit next week. As you know, we will keep you posted. Keep in touch with us. Send feedback, story ideas, messages to the fleet, and song requests to fish@kdlg.org or reach us here at the station, 907-842-5281. Nick Shalino on the west side and Caitlin Tan out of NACNET covering the fishery this summer. Feel free to invite them on board. My thanks to them, plus Avery Lill and Allison Mollenkamp, as well as the generous support of our underwriters and contributions from our listeners and you, the fishing fleet. Final note, tip of the hat to the Dillingham Volunteer Fire Department and other volunteers who were able to quickly snuff out a fire today aboard the Flying Tiger at the Dillingham Boat Harbor. No serious injuries reported there. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.